Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the happy hour, everybody, on 97.3 The Fan. Sammy, it's Gravy filling in for Gwen and Chris. Have an update on Chris here in just a second when we get into the show. In just about 30 or 35 minutes, we're going to be giving away our biggest fan name for today. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I got a text in the break saying that about the Fyre Festival too, Sam. And this guy was one of my friends was saying that it's so up in the air that because Mexico hasn't even acknowledged this is happening, that you can't really sell tickets to anything. But also some of the coordinates that are being put as like, hey, here's where the festival is going to be. Well, at least one of the coordinates is in the middle of the ocean. So I don't know if this is a big joke or if it's actually a thing, but they're saying that Fyre Festival 2 is happening. And I just don't understand why. I really don't understand why. If you don't know what Fyre Festival is, there's a documentary on Netflix and also Hulu. They're both great. They're both very informative, and it will make you, like Sam and I, not really sure why a guy who just gets out of prison wants to do the same thing again. This is wild to me. This is just, and I'm not allowing Sam to go. He said he's going to go. I'm not allowing him to go. It's not going to happen. Sorry, Sam. Not going.
Think of the content.
That is true. I mean, Sammy's
maybe
TikTok.
Maybe Adam would pay for my trip down there. Work assignment.
I doubt that, but you could try. You could try. Never mind. I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to. Katrina says it's supposed to be at the island attached to the resort I stayed in in September. I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye on this, but I just want everybody to know this is a potential scam. Scam alert, everybody. Scam alert. Big news of the day. Yankees ace Gerrit Cole is going to undergo Tommy John surgery. So that's a huge deal for the Yankees. Sam and I talked about it a little bit earlier, whether or not the Yankees could be looking for some help in their starting rotation with him out for the year. Also, Luis Gil, the rookie of the year last year for the Yankees, he is going to be out for about 2 months as well. So they have two spots in their rotation. We also have a lot of NFL news, and Sam Darnold is now a Seahawk, 3 years, $100.5 million. The Commanders have traded for left tackle Laremy Tunsil, which is huge for them. So the Commanders are building with that and Debo. Chris Godwin returns to the Bucks on a 3-year, $66 million deal. What else? DK Metcalf is a Steeler. Now here's one of the hardest things I'm ever going to report on this show. Dre Greenlaw, the 49ers linebacker of all linebackers, has signed with the Broncos. He is no longer a 49er, which is really,
who's a more legendary 49ers linebacker, Greenlaw or Warner?
Ooh, well, Fred Warner. He's played longer and he's done more. So, but Dre Greenlaw was amazing. He was. It's just too bad he got hurt in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. I think that game may have turned out different.
What's the deal with Brock Purdy these days?
There are all of the rumors that you would think are coming out right now about how the 49ers are lowballing him. He's not accepting the offer. I guess the 49ers offered him $45 million a year to start, and he didn't want that. I think that Brock Purdy is going to be signed in due time. It's just Josh Allen's extension of over $300 million puts a little bit of a wrench into it, because now the trend for quarterback contracts, Sam, is all guaranteed money. Like, you basically have to offer some...
And Josh Allen is, like, a million times better than Brock Purdy.
I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying that Brock Purdy deserves Josh Allen money. I think Brock Purdy would be perfect at the $50 million range. He's not the best quarterback in the league. He's not the worst quarterback in the league. I think $50 million would be good, but it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work
like
that. Like,
it feels like the 49ers, like, their run... Feels like
here we go.
Over.
The window's closed. I've heard it a million times,
Sam. The
window's closed
without a championship.
I've heard it a million times. I'm also, I'm concerned about this window being closed because it was wide open last year and they finished 6-11. So I'm just not a fan of what's going on this offseason. Also, 49ers All-Pro safety Talanoa Hufanga is with the Broncos. So the Broncos steal two very good defenders and put them on a very, very good defense. So, I don't know. Katrina just said Najee Harris to the Chargers? Did Najee Harris just go to the Chargers? Let's see. Najee Harris goes to the Chargers. I don't know. I don't see that yet. Apparently, though, there's a report saying he has already said goodbye to teammates. So we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. But lots of news today, Sam. Padres news. They lose to the Reds today, 9-3. Michael King with a so-so start today. Fernando hit his first home run of the spring. Gavin Sheets hit another home run, two in the last maybe two or three days. We chalked this game up today, if you're just tuning in, to a throwaway spring training game. We can't really take much from it, but they did lose to the Reds 9-3.
Can I read a little bit of this Buster Olney piece,
please,
on the Yankees and Garrett Cole?
Yes,
because I do think it relates to the Padres a little bit. Buster writing here, the price of a trade in April or May is usually set by the team dealing away a star, and the Yankees would have to pay a big price in prospects in the spring after a rough year for their farm system. One or more National League West teams could end up feeding the trade market. The Padres enter this season with high expectations after nearly knocking out the LA Dodgers last summer. But if San Diego drifts behind in the playoff race, it holds two of the best impending free agents, Dylan Cease and former Yankee Michael King. The pitching market could be flush with options in a few months. The Yankees might wait until then to make a move to cover for Cole's absence.
I mean, you lose two starting pitchers in your rotation, one a rookie of the year and one Garrett Cole. You can't replace that with anyone, even if you traded someone. The Yankees are in trouble. They're in big trouble, and I don't feel bad about it at all. Yeah. I mean, they lost Juan Soto. Now they've lost Garrett Cole due to injury.
Yeah, I mean, they did sign Max Fried.
They did.
Trade for Cody Bellinger.
They still have Rodon with them. As well, mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I just think you have to remember what happened last year with Dylan Cease is very, very rare for a trade like that with a star pitcher to happen 2 weeks before opening day. You know, and again, I'll keep saying this until
the cows come home.
The cows come home. That's exactly what was on my mind. In my opinion, the best course of action for the San Diego Padres is to keep this group together, to see what you can be, and you always have two very, very, very good starting pitchers in Cease and King to deal if you're in a position where you are dealing this summer around the deadline. It will not be, like, to me, it is best case scenario. You are right in the mix. You have a good team. You're competing. You're destined for the postseason. And worst case scenario is that you're not in that position, and then you have the ability to have two studs available at the deadline. Now, you want to argue with me that you'd get more for a guy like Cease now, for a guy like King now, because you're offering it to a team that'll have him for the full season. That's fair. But the minute you do that, for whatever you're getting in return, for whatever you're getting for your farm system, you are A, creating a massive hole in your rotation that already has one spot up in the air, and B, the message that sends to your very veteran team, you know, 2 weeks before opening day, I don't love that.
Yeah.
So
It kind of is like
my opinion is I want this group together. We'll always have if you are unfortunately in a position in the summer around the deadline where you are in sell mode, you're going to have the ability to get something back for these guys. You are. I mean, that's worst case scenario. And if you're in it and you're competitive and you're in a playoff spot, then that's great. And you keep on rolling.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fully with you. I don't think that right now they've already had a full off season together. This team has done almost all of spring training together. It would have to be a deal that just totally knocks the socks off of AJ Preller for him to kind of mess with this right now. I want to see it through as well as you do. I think that's the best case scenario right now, is seeing what they have and trying to build on it throughout the year, and then, as you said, reassess at the trade deadline. See what you need to do. If you're not doing well, you could trade Dylan Cease. But if you are doing well, you can try to acquire someone else to supplement you. Some of the other news around baseball, other than that, would be where did it go? There it is. Mets catcher Francisco Alvarez has a broken hamate bone, out 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty big for the Mets. I mean, he's a pretty good catcher, but he's been hurt the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's been hurt. He didn't have a great year last year. He's still very young, but he has dealt with a lot of injuries. Look, the Mets, both New York teams have a lot of injuries. I mean, yeah. Peel and Cole, obviously, now. The Mets, Alvarez the latest, but remember they lost Manaea, who's mm-hmm. going to miss opening day. They lost Frankie Montas for 6 to 8 weeks. Yep. He's going to miss opening day. They don't have a great rotation to begin with. After that, I mean, you've got Kodai Senga, but then it's the Griffin Cannings of the world, the Pete Blackburns of the world. I mean, this is not a great rotation. Clay Holmes is very unproven reliever that's going to become a starter a la Michael King. Signed with the Mets from the Yankees as a starter this past winter. So, look, the Mets lineup, really good. I mean, their lineup, their offense should be really, really good. But, yeah. I mean, from a starting pitching standpoint, I think it has the potential to go really poorly, especially with the injuries. So both New York teams are dealing with some major injuries.
All right, before we go to break, I'm going to read this comment. Prolific said, the more you all talk about Dylan Cease being traded, the more you all are attracting that to happen. Prolific, if I had that power, then Dylan Cease would have been traded like a long time ago. We've been talking about a Dylan Cease trade since the end of last season. I don't think we have that much power, but I'm glad we don't have that power, because I don't want Dylan Cease to go anywhere. I don't think we're going to.
Yeah, I don't
the attention of anyone out there.
Yeah, I don't fully understand it. Not at this current moment. I want to see what this team is. I want to see who they are. I want to see what they can do at the start of the year. I mean, this team could get off to a really good start. Like, you know, this team could win 90 plus games. So, you know, if you're not in it come the summertime, or if you're teetering, you know, if you're teetering on the edge of a postseason spot, if you're teetering on the edge of contention, you know, then that's a decision you make then. You know, we saw the Padres not trade Blake Snell, not trade Josh Hader in 23. It ended up arguably being the wrong decision because they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they could have got a good haul back for both those guys.
Yep.
But, you know.
They went for it.
They went for it. You know, you're going to have to make that decision. But we're a ways away from that. We're months away from that.
Yes. All right. That is the latest on baseball news, NFL news. When we get back, we have not talked about the Aztecs men's basketball team. We'll also update you on the women and UCSD. But the Aztecs, where are they in the tournament right now? Are they in the tournament right now? We will tell you when we get back here on Sammy and Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's official. Chris Ello is staying in Las Vegas for one more night. Sammy and Scraby filling in for Quinn and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. The Aztecs women's have taken care women's basketball team, I should say, of taking care of their opponent, New Mexico, 63-53. So they are moving on in the next round of the Mountain West Women's Tournament. So he's going to be doing a game tomorrow at 5 p.m., which means he'll be live for a little bit. We're going to record some stuff, I think. Not really sure what's going to happen tomorrow. So this time of year is very crazy. We're also actually expecting Tony to come back as well. So we were just texting all three of us, and Tony said he's really looking forward to get back to the show, which makes me feel good, Sam. So I'm appreciative of Tony for saying that. Now, the Aztecs men's basketball team. They, Sam just texted me for something while on the air. I'm going to look at this a little bit later, but I saw his name pop up. I'm like, does he need to tell me something?
I'm texting you notes about the Aztecs.
Yes, thank you. Oh, that is a good note. Thank you, Sam. The Aztecs, though, they beat Nevada over the weekend on Saturday, and they beat them convincingly. They actually got out to a huge lead this time instead of, losing at halftime and then having to find a way to come back in the second half. But Nick Boyd has been incredible for the Aztecs. He's actually, without Nick Boyd, the Aztecs aren't even in this position. But if you look at the bracketology right now, after cruising past Nevada, they're going to play Boise State in the 4-5 quarterfinal on Thursday in the Mountain West Tournament at 2:30 p.m. Joe Lunardi has the Aztecs as one of the last four teams in, which means that they have to play in the play-in game. So the last four in for Joe Lunardi is San Diego State, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Xavier. And so in his prediction, San Diego State would be playing Xavier for a spot in the regular 64-team field. Now, Jerry Palm, our guy from CBS Sports,
I don't mean to correct you, but it is a field of 68.
No. I said it very specifically for a reason, because I don't count the first four.
Those are NCAA.
I don't count the first four.
That's not how they view it.
Yeah, they view it because it's TV revenue.
The NCAA tournament.
It's TV revenue for them.
Okay. It's not really a play-in. It is part of the tournament.
Fine.
I'm telling you, San Diego State, if they play in the first four and lose, they will consider it an NCAA tournament appearance.
Okay, fine. All right. They're getting money from the NCAA because they appeared, and the Mountain West get money. I'll give you that. Okay, they're in the tournament if they get in the first four.
All right, carry on, yes.
Jerry Palm has Baylor playing San Diego State and Xavier playing Boise State. Now, if they lose, I was reading Mark Ziegler's article earlier, and if they lose to Boise State on Thursday, not necessarily out of the first four in, but if they do, it may spell the end for the Aztecs' tourney chances if they lose on Thursday to Boise State. They could still get in at an at-large. I mean, crazy things can happen, but they pretty much control their own fate now. They cannot lose this game.
Yeah, I think they're living on the edge.
They are.
So they would benefit themselves by having some sort of run in this conference tournament, a win or two, to shore things up. Because I'm with you. I think if you lose to Boise State in your first game of the Mountain West tournament, I think you're running a real risk of being on the outside looking in. I think you are nervous on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see.
We're not in this position often with the Aztecs men's basketball team.
I think you're nervous. I think they probably still get in, but I think you're nervous.
Yeah, UCSD also won over the weekend over UC Davis, so they took any sort of weird stuff that could happen if they lost. Now they have to win the Big West. And by the way,
if you're San Diego State, you are rooting hard for UCSD because you do not want the Big West to become a two-bid league and have a different conference tournament champ.
Yes.
And then if you're assuming UCSD would get an at-large, so you're rooting for UCSD to win that tournament and not create another potential at-large bid that could hypothetically knock San Diego State out.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't like how... I don't like anything, really, it seems like. But I also am not a fan of, like, a team... Like, if USD won the West Coast Conference Tournament, they lost, so they're not going to. They would get a spot in the tournament only winning seven games all season long or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
And it would kick out a more deserving team.
That's an interesting debate in point. I've never loved conference tournaments. I just especially, you know what, it's one thing for the power conferences, I think, where there are already, you know, at times 7-8 teams getting bids. That's a little different to me. I just feel like UCSD is going to be a great example.
Yep.
If, you know, now they may get in that large bid, even if they don't
they
win their
should.
Conference tournament because they've been that good this
yes,
year. But
yes.
there are a lot of cases, you know, let's say you're a Patriot League team. Okay. Or like a really, really small conference. Now, let's say you have just an unbelievable season. You go, you know, undefeated, one loss in your conference season. You run away with that regular season conference title. You know, tournament style basketball, multiple games in consecutive days, weird stuff happens.
It does.
And I've always hated that, that like you just throw away what's been a regular season. I don't know. The smaller conferences, I understand they're moneymakers, the tournaments, and, you know, and there's a reason why they do it. But I never have loved the idea of just tossing away the entire regular season.
It's very
strange.
Know,
and basing the conference tournament winner, you know, or I should say the automatic bid on the conference tournament winner, especially for the really small schools.
Yeah.
It's never quite sat right with me.
Yeah, the NCAA tournament has just, like, I feel like everything these days is just about the money that you can make. And it's kind of just, it just lost something for me, because now it's just, how much money do I make if I make it into the tournament? Or teams are selected because there's a popularity contest. And I know that they say nothing is going on like that, but there's certainly got to be people that are like, no, we don't want that team. They're not very fun. Or I don't know. Let me withdraw the not very fun comment.
Yeah, I think one of the key differences, though, between college football and the playoff, you know, that the bigger format that just started and the NCAA tournament, men's basketball, just basketball in general, I think one of the big differences is in March Madness on the basketball side, we so much love this time of year because of the upsets, and they're very real. Like, you know, it's really different. Like, let's say you had Colgate in the Patriot League in football, okay, go play Alabama, okay? Colgate, now, we've seen crazy upsets in college football.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be honest. Colgate, like 99.9% is not beating Alabama,
no,
okay?
You're right.
But in the NCAA tournament, we see it every year. I mean, we see, you know, a 14 seed beat a 3, a 15 beat a 2. We've now seen a 16 beat a 1. We see this stuff every year. Really, really significant upsets. And real Cinderella stories that go to the Elite Eight, go to the Final Four. So I think it's a little bit different in that sense, you know, where we really have upset potential with every game in the NCAA tournament. I don't remember how I got on this little rant.
No. We were talking about conference selection and things like that, but like the KenPom is annoying. You have to have certain amount of quad one wins versus quad two wins, and I saw North Carolina has one win in quad one this year. But they're still like in the tournament. In Kansas, it just seems like there's more deserving teams out there. Like Kansas this year, they've lost a lot of games. I don't know that they should be in the tournament because they don't deserve.
I would. UCSD is a good example, right? I would so much rather if UCSD doesn't win their conference tournament. I would so much rather, as a college basketball fan, see UCSD in the tournament as a great smaller conference team than see the seventh best Big Ten team.
Yeah.
Than see the seventh or eighth best ACC team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those teams don't interest me.
Me neither.
I love this time of year and what it brings for the smaller conferences.
Get like
and schools.
A Furman or a College
of
Charleston.
Yeah, give me a smaller school. There's nothing there's nothing particularly fun about the middling power conference teams, in my opinion. Except if it's the Northwestern Wildcats, then that's okay.
Or the Loyola of Chicago...
Ramblers.
Sam used to call Loyola of Chicago back in the day. New
Stephen
Sister
Woods,
Jean.
Alma mater.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sister Jean, though, and Sam are tight. like if Sam went over to Sister Jean, there we go, pound it, boom, as he walks by. Isn't that right, Sam?
Yeah.
Sam's looking at me like he has no idea what I'm talking about.
No. I know exactly what you're talking about. Now I've had multiple photos with Sister Jean.
That should go on your dating profile. That is for sure.
You know what? That's a pretty good idea.
You need Spray. Sister Jean in your dating profile.
That's a pretty good idea.
All right.
That would be a hit. A Sister Jean photo?
Oh, yeah. That's a conversation starter right there. That's a conversation starter.
Oh, man. You've unlocked something.
All right. Well, while you're working on putting that on your dating profiles, I'm going to announce the biggest fan.
Game changer.
Yes. Congratulations to today's biggest fan, Tracy Filler of Solana Beach. Tracy Filler. Sometimes I
Tracy.
Feel like... Sometimes I wonder if people misspell their name when they're typing it in. But Tracy Filler of Solana Beach, give us a call back within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973. You'll qualify for our grand prize. 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Tracy Filler of Solana Beach, 833-288-0973. Your 10 minutes starts now. When we get back... We're going to bring you some baseball news. We're going to bring you some Love is Blind talk. Also, I'm going to tell you why my gaming on my phone, Sam, is out of control. Out of control. Like I play.
This all sounds great. I'm sure people are going to want to tune in.
Yes, I hope they do.
To this exciting sports talk at the Sports Talk Radio
station. We have baseball news on the other side as well.
Let's get a little baseball in.
Get a little Love is Blind in, too, on the other side.
Sure.
973 The Fan. Final segment here. 973 The Fan. Sammy and Scraby. We're going to talk some baseball. I'm going to tell you about why my phone games are out of control. But let's start with this, Sam, before we get into anything. Have you seen Andrés Muñoz's new pitch?
Mm-mm.
He's got a new changeup, apparently. And I guess he has unveiled it in games, and it's a 92-mile-an-hour, 1,106 RPM fall-off-the-table weapon. It's got a 10-inch vertical drop. If you go to @A_Jude on Twitter, they have a video of this. But the reason I bring this up is because people told me back when that trade happened that this was going to hurt the Padres for years to come, and I put it off. I said, no, it's not. Andrés Muñoz is going to be one of the best closers in baseball. See, there you go. Sam just saw it.
He's going to
be
nice
one of
pitch.
The best closers in baseball. And
yeah, look, I'm Andrés Muñoz. Let me tell you a little story about Andrés Muñoz. 2019, Amarillo Sod Poodles. Andrés Muñoz, Padres prospect, began the year with us in Amarillo. He was great. He was electric. Was throwing 100-plus miles per hour, had a nasty, nasty slider already. It was very easy to see that he had the potential to be a big-time reliever. And, you know, look, he was a part of that trade for Austin Nola, part of that package of prospects. And I'm not shocked that Andrés has gone on to be that one of those guys. I'm not. So, hey. Good for him. He's kind of lived up to his hype and his changeup. Yes.
Yes.
Very nasty.
MLB.com put out a list of the 15 nasty new pitches they've seen in spring, and Paul Skeens leads it off. Now, Paul Skeens apparently has developed a new cutter, which when you see it on the Pitching Ninja Twitter, it looks unfair. So if he's able to throw this cutter in a game and throw it well, then he's going to be unstoppable. But we already knew that. It's a 91-mile-an-hour cutter. So if that means anything to you pitching people out there. Dylan Cease is actually on this list of 15 nasty new pitches.
Little two-seam.
No, it's not that one. They're saying it's the changeup. He has I think he's called a arm speed changeup is what they're calling it. It's on the MLB.com.
He's also definitely working on a two-seam fastball, but okay.
Well, then they picked the wrong one. They said his old changeup was a sub-70-mile-an-hour floater, and now it's a traditional changeup at 83 miles an hour, and it's got 14 miles an hour differential from his fastball. He actually taught, I mean, you've talked to him many times here so far, but we talked to him at FanFest, and he said it's all about just getting to the point where you could throw it and feel comfortable and then working it into the game. So I don't know what you think about his changeup. What about his two-seam? What do you know about that?
Well, I can tell you his two-seam is something he's working on, and a pitch that can run into righties, kind of go the other direction of his slider and his fastball, four-seam fastball. So a little two-seam that could run into righties, you know, get some weak contact early in counts, something like that.
Apparently, the changeup, I forgot to mention this, he's had whiffs on 5 of the 6 times he's thrown it this spring. So I'm looking forward to seeing Dylan Cease do that. Otherwise, I mean, I guess Max Scherzer's debuting a sinker. He's like 20 years into his career, and he's getting new pitches, which is good for him, but he's not the same pitcher anymore. Kodai Senga has the ghost fork, but he's also now going with a sinker. I think the ghost fork was a sinker, but they called it a ghost fork. Otherwise, this segment is falling flat from where I thought it was going to go.
I mean, I don't know if it was the most entertaining thing to go over new pitches in spring training.
Well, I thought it was going to be a little bit of a fun thing. These are all things that I put in the doc like first thing in the morning. So these are like the first things that I see on MLB.com.
I just want to see, because I'm a little, let me, hold on. Can I see
Dylan Cease's? Let's go to traffic first, and then you can do some research in the
whole thing. Okay, I'm going to have one more thought on this after traffic.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, look, I knew this already. I mean, Dylan threw what was classified as a changeup, like very, very, very rarely last year.
Yeah.
I was aware he was working on this two seam. I'm not as familiar as him, with him working on the changeup, but I will ask him about it tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Let's get to my phone conversation real quick. I want to see if you think I need help, Sam, because I am someone. Do you play games on your phone a lot? You're on your phone for all sorts of different reasons, mostly like putting up videos and taking videos and all that. But do you play games?
I do not play any games on my phone. I'm too busy working for 97.3 The Fan. I don't have time to play games.
You know, while Sam's working, I sit back in my house and I just put my feet up and I start playing my phone games. But I am addicted to phone games. And I am addicted.
And I'm addicted to Love is Blind. So we all have our vices.
We'll get to that in a second. But I have so many phone games going on right now. Like, most phone games have times that you have to wait before you get certain things. Like, you build a structure, you have to wait an hour to get that structure built or whatever. But I have so many games now that I'm now, like, timing it out so that all of them are done. Like, I put an alarm on my phone that says, hey, you need to go check your games so that you can get your new money, your new structures, all of that. I feel like this is probably something I should, you know, stop doing, Sam, because it's at least 8 games now that I'm collecting things from, and it makes no sense. And the reason I'm bringing it to you and to everybody else is because I want to embarrass myself to the point where I don't do this anymore, because earlier today on the walk, I missed out on 100 coins because I didn't get there in time because Lucky was going for a walk, and I was mad. So I thought, I think it's time for you to back off on the games a little bit, bro.
Yes, Grabe. I mean, look, whatever makes you happy, if games make you happy, then so be it. I mean, there are a lot of gamers out there.
Yeah, but these games are like,
sit and play video games, which is fine. So
I'm playing games like Oregon Trail.
Yeah, I mean, if you like phone games, that's fine.
I got to go churn butter.
It's your life. It's your time. It's your priorities. It's, you know, whatever makes you happy.
Reckoner says, I'm literally playing World of Warcraft right now as I listen. Joseph says, I'm more of a console gamer. Last phone game I played was Flappy Bird. I don't know about Flappy Bird. But all right, well, two topics in the books, two flops in the books. Let's try and get to our third flop. Look,
I don't play. I've never been a video games guy. Okay, in any capacity. If you really like, I've never even had a video game console. My parents didn't let me have one growing up.
What, they didn't let you have one?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
No video games. No. Because I mean, I don't mean that. This is. I want to be very clear here. I'm not shaming any gamers out there. Do whatever you want. No. I'm really not. I like doing certain things, and if you like playing video games, that's what you enjoy, then that's totally cool. Cool by me. My parents thought it was a waste of time. They didn't see the point in video games and having me sit there and play video games. So they never got me a console, and I never had a video game console my entire childhood. And to this day, I never had a video game console.
You have any curiosity on video games?
Yeah, my brother has it now.
Oh, okay.
In L.A. So sometimes I'll play when I'm at my brother's, but I have a feeling that, I don't know, I'd play it too much and then be like, oh, I should be doing something else. So
like
I just
playing
never,
this other
I,
game.
Put it this way. I never have felt in my life like I'm missing anything because I've never had it.
Okay. I can see that. And I also could see why your parents.
My parents.
I
let me
can
tell
see
you
why
my
they
parents
took
didn't
that
let
stance.
Me have video games. Didn't let me have Pokemon cards. Anything that was like cool or like a fad, Sam
Pogs?
Did not get.
Did you get Pogs?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, you're a little bit.
We had the, I didn't get the Crazy Bones. You remember those, Gravy, that you flicked?
Crazy Bones?
Crazy Bones, yeah. You like flicked them across the table. Anything cool or like trendy or like a fad, I did not get, which I don't hold against my parents. I'm just telling you, that was not.
Oh, I see these Crazy Bones things. Yeah, I remember them now. I do. Pogs are kind of similar a little bit. I don't know.
Joseph saying, does Sammy think being a gamer means we play 4 to 6 hours at a time? No, I'm not. This is not a shame on gaming. I swear. I just have never played video games. I've never had a.
That's fine. I don't blame you at all. It's not a big deal. I'm just saying, I think when I brought this up, it was me trying to shame myself because they're phone games. And they're all about how can we get these people to get as high as they can in the game and then spend a bunch of money to get to the next level.
Right.
And
yeah.
I have,
see, that's... Yeah, no, I'm with you. Don't spend your money on
no,
phone
no, no.
Game
I'm not doing
items.
That's why I'm waiting like 6 hours for my wheat to grow so I can go get my wheat. If I wanted to pay for my wheat, I could just hit the button and it would take my wheat and I would get my wheat and I could make some bread out of it. But I don't. I have to wait like 8 hours to that. All right, let's go to Love is Blind because it is the end of the show. Final 5 minutes. Appreciate Sam being here today. Love is Blind is season 8. It just ended. Sam, where do you want to start? Because mainly I want to...
Well, hold on. Let me also be clear. I haven't seen all of the last episode and the reunion.
I haven't seen the reunion.
But I've seen a spoiler that ruins, I think, the other couple that doesn't get married.
Yeah, there's only
well,
one
actually,
couple that gets
sure
married.
Well, actually, I'm not sure about that. No. Well, Scraby! I didn't know that!
It's already out! It's already out. How do you not...
I didn't finish the last episode.
All right.
No, I knew that Devin and Virginia
yes.
don't get married. But now I'm assuming... So, okay, whatever. So now I'm assuming... Okay, but we're probably ruining it for people out there.
I think... All right, spoiler alert, you could...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
on Love is Blind.
Alert, spoiler alert.
We're
Love
giving
is
you
blind,
5,
eight.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Okay. Devin and Virginia, I saw a spoiler on Twitter, don't get married.
Yes.
I saw Sarah and the other guy, whatever his name is, not get married. Who cares?
Ben.
Did Joey and Monica also not get married?
They did not get married.
Ah!
Which I...
So who got? So who did get married? So then it's
Taylor and the Christmas guy.
That's
Dan.
So interesting. I would have guessed that they wouldn't have got married. Wow, that's interesting.
That is interesting because I wouldn't have guessed. But they seem like they're the couple that actually worked out. I would have thought Joey and Monica were going to work out because
yeah, they seem great.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was something about Joey that just
Yes.
Rubbed me the wrong way.
There was something there. It was like
my favorite on the whole show this season is Lauren. Big Lauren fan.
You're a Lauren fan. Okay, yes. Let's talk about Dave a little bit because
Dave, I don't know what was going on there.
Dave is here's what I kept thinking as I was going through the show. He kept talking about his sister giving him the blessing to get married. I'm
obsessed,
like, dude.
Obsessed with his sister.
Obsessed with his sister.
My sister.
Did you talk to your sister?
I talked to my sister.
I'm like, I understand that you could be close with your sister, but your sister does not need to be a part of your every
decision. And then he was so bent out of shape at the idea that Lauren could have some sort of, like, love life, personal life before the show.
Okay. My theory is that he didn't want to get married and that was his way out. Is that he realized after they did the whole proposal thing that he didn't want to go through with it, and his way out was saying he had a problem with her hooking up with someone before the show.
Yeah.
Shockwave says, quote unquote, sister. Did the sister actually exist?
Sister exists. Here's my question, because I haven't seen it. Joey and Monica, how much of a role did Monica's sister play? Because she was very anti-Joey.
I don't really know how to answer that because I was kind of barely watching at that point. But
I know. Can I say something? If somebody out there doesn't watch Love is Blind, which I'm sure many people don't, and many people are like, why are they talking about this? It is 5:53,
yes.
And we're almost done here.
Yeah. We waited. This was what I wanted to open with, but we waited.
Okay? I will say this about Love is Blind. I think I'm done. I watched the first two seasons. I didn't watch again until this season and season 8, so I've missed like 5 seasons between. I will say this. This show moves way too slow. It is so slow.
There's a lot of episodes.
These extended conversations about nothing in the pods, out of the pods. Move it all. You could do this show in 2 episodes. Legitimately, like 2 to 3 episodes done. There's no reason this show needs to be 14 episodes.
Make it like, 6 or 7. It does not need
and
to be 14.
Wait, let me tell you something else that drives me crazy, but I read about it. I know why they do it. Oh, we're done.
No, go for
the
it.
The gold cups.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Everywhere. I read it. Scraby, you want to know why?
Why?
It's for editing. Because they don't want to have to worry about a drink being in someone's cup full, a drink being lower. It makes a lot of sense. It's for editing.
Wow.
They don't want cups where you can, because I'm sure they're bouncing around in the editing.
Yes.
To different parts of the night and conversation.
I wondered that.
It's for editing.
I'm like.
But it's really weird because everywhere they go, somebody's house, a bar,
it's
a room, a bedroom.
Gold cups.
Gold cups. Always.
Always.
It's for editing.
Who is this? Someone, I can't, Mashuti says, I thought they were talking about Friends because of Monica and Joey. All right, that's it. Thanks so much, Sam, for being here today. We might hear from you tomorrow.
All right,
thanks,
bye,
everybody, for listening.
Hope you enjoyed this 4-hour radio program.
Yeah, have a good night. Go watch Love is Blind.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.